I'm just going to pause the show for 1 second.
Sure.
Because I want you to turn your microphone around because you have it backwards.
What?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And my name is also David Dedrick.
We are both hosting the show today. Oh, poopy. I want to start again.
Okay.
I always start with like a misspoken part of the show.
Sure, go ahead.
And then, no, I'm not going to start it, actually. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to keep on going.
All right. All right. Fair enough. My name's Ian Boothby. That's who I am. Okay. Go.
And my name is Dedrick.
All right. Sounds... All right. So we're starting off with you having a mild stroke.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I have a hard time saying D's.
That's a shame because you're...
I know. My parents tormented me by giving me a name that has not one D, has four D's. And if
just
I
like
say my middle name...
cards. Am I right? It's Dave's parents.
If I say my middle name, I also have five D's because it's David Andrew Dedrick. And I just have a hard time. It's more like... And it's always been like that my whole life.
You're saying your name out loud actually is a good test to see if you're having a stroke or not. There's a couple of things you should do.
It's a good test for anyone.
One, you should get the person to smile. That's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. Say a simple sentence.
Yes. Wave toast in front of their face.
That's right.
Okay.
And go, does this smell no different than you are before I did this?
Yeah.
And four, go, are you feeling strokey?
Feeling strokey, yeah.
Yeah, you feel them a little strokey.
You stroke them on the arm.
Oh.
You kind of just stroke them with like kind of uncomfortably stroking them. And, are you feeling strokey? And then...
Yeah, that's right.
That's and then the fourth test is, can you say the name David Dedrick? And if they can't, then you're like, well, either you are David Dedrick, who can't pronounce his own name, or you're having a stroke.
Wow.
Those are the two.
And so how do you know, again, which is the tiger and which is the lady? Sorry, I'm flashbacking to an old episode.
You are flashbacking to, and people who are keeping track at home, that's episode 11.
What?
Episode 11, we talked about that.
I thought this was episode 9.
Oh, that's right. This is episode 9. I'm sorry.
Are we flashing forward?
We're flashing forward. I was having a flash forward.
Oh, you might be having a stroke then. This sounds very dead zone.
Could you please wave some toast in front of me?
Okay, I will. I'm gonna make you some fresh, not French toast.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make you some fresh toast.
Nice.
And,
Thank you.
And we'll see how that goes.
Ian, I'm just going to pause for 1 second here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pause the show for 1 second.
Sure.
Because I want you to turn your microphone around because you have it backwards.
What?
Yes, okay. That's why you sound like you're so far away.
And we're back.
We're talking about...
how to place your microphone properly you don't sound like a boob for your first 10 minutes.
Doesn't that sound nicer?
Yeah, that sounds great.
You're quite... Okay, go on. Keep on talking.
Okay, I was just going to say, there's a couple of reasons where I'm a little bit out of sorts right now. One, I'm currently on tour. It might not look like I'm on tour because I'm in front of you, but I'm currently on a tour of the Lower Mainland doing a comedy show with Roman Danilo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still in road rules mentality.
Yeah.
I'm crazy, man. I'm on the road.
Yeah.
I'm doing stuff that I – like what goes on the road stays on the road, and that counts for now too. It's like the time between Christmas and New Year's. It's like nothing really, but you count it as the holidays. And so I'm still counting, even though I'm in between the times that I'm touring, I'm still in tour mindset.
Okay.
So, I'm a little bit toured up and I'm going to do some of the things maybe tonight that I would normally not do. Like I may eat chicken.
Okay.
I don't normally eat chicken.
No, you don't.
I may occasionally go, woo, for no reason.
No reason at all.
Yeah.
No reason at all.
And
you're going to have some gaffer tape attached to your belt loop.
Yep.
And the, you know, butt crack showing.
Yep.
Most of the,
wait, do you think I'm a roadie?
That's what I think you're doing.
No, I'm not a roadie. I'm actually in the show.
Oh, you're in the show. I'm sorry. I was confused.
Have you thought I was a roadie all these years?
I did.
We've known each other a number of years.
Well, I know, but for some reason I got it in my head that you were
I don't have that kind of lower back strength. I cannot be a roadie.
You can't carry a PA into the...
No, that's real work. No, I'm just going up there and I'm doing a little my sissy jokes in front of people.
You're the talent.
And let me tell you, the difference, because I used to do a lot of road traveling as a stand-up,
mm-hmm.
It's nice to go to a venue where they expect you to show up. Because when I started off, what you got on the road was no one in the bar that you were playing. We're playing theaters now, but no one in the bar you were playing at knew you were coming.
Is that right?
No one.
So
no
you
one.
Just, you just came and they were surprised.
Well, they were. The bartender didn't know. No one knew. And so you show up.
Do you know why? They didn't even have a stage, right?
Nope.
So they were surprised. They're like, you're here to perform. On what?
Yeah, exactly. Normally in front of the dartboard, which is just asking for trouble. But here's the way it went down. It was like you'd show up and just go, yeah, we're here for a show. It was me and another guy. Oh, all right then. And so they'd shut off the pool tables, making everyone mad. Maybe mm-hmm. turn off the TV as sports, again, okay. making everyone yeah. angry because yeah. they didn't expect anything either.
This was game six of the Stanley Cup
Something
final.
Something like that, yeah.
They just turned it off.
And then you go up and you tell your little jokey jokes mm-hmm. and no one and everyone hates you. And that would happen repeatedly. And I never knew why that was because I went like, well, this makes no sense. Why did they hire us? Because they were paying us. And the reason was because in BC, British Columbia, where we're broadcasting from, they have a thing called a cabaret license. And so if you're a bar mm-hmm. and you're just a regular bar, well, you can sell liquor up until midnight. But if you're a cabaret, then you can sell it till two. And that's two more hours of sales, money in your pocket. So
but in order to be considered a cabaret,
you need to have some entertainment. What is the cheapest entertainment? Handless puppets, but those aren't very good.
Finger puppets.
Finger puppets, that's right. Yeah. But no, that usually requires a puppeteer, and that takes skill.
That takes some skill.
So the cheapest thing –
especially to make the mouth move.
That's
for finger puppets.
That is really – yeah, yeah. That's usually a sign of an open gash. You should probably get that treated. If your finger puppet has a mouth
– I'm Mr. Paper Cut.
Then please just like put a little polysporin on that, bandage that right up. That is not – that's not healthy, especially in the rooms we were playing. You will get an infection. So no, they didn't know we were coming, but – because we came and we were there and we performed for like about an hour, a little over an hour, they got to sell liquor for the rest of the month for two more hours. And so it all worked out for them, but was terrible for us and terrible for the people in the bar that night. And I had no idea why I was on this nightmare tour of the damned.
When did you find out?
I found out about 2 months ago, and I stopped doing it. I stopped doing stand-up I stopped doing stand-up about 10 years ago. And the reason I stopped – I'll tell you the reason I stopped was
– wasn't fun?
Well, beyond not fun, okay. I was doing a show and the comic in front of me that was the headliner was doing his normal homophobic stuff that everyone was eating up going, mm-hmm. We enjoy mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
More racism, please. Nom, 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 nom. And I was doing – you ever – the interesting thing about – basically the bullshit we do. The things we do here.
Want to know about Donkey Kong?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
You know what? Why didn't Nintendo have the pie level?
That's right. The Frogger. Why is a frog drown? I mean, he can clearly swim. That makes no sense at all.
It should be Toter.
Exactly. So homophobe, racist McGee, mm-hmm. Is killing. And I'm like, all right, I've had enough of this. So I go back to the room we're sharing. By the way, we have two beds. That night we had been offered like, hey, you know what? We can either have two beds or we can have one bed that we share, but we've got a big TV. What do you guys want to do? And the guy was like, let's take the big TV. And I'm like, no, what the hell? What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, a big TV.
That is
pretty tempting.
What are we watching
pretty
together?
Pretty tempting.
I know what he wants to watch, and I don't want to watch that in the big bed with him. So anyway, we're yeah. And again, the guys who are really homophobic, you know where that's going.
He really liked your roll of tape and your butt crack.
I'm sure he did. Again, I am not a roadie.
Oh, I keep forgetting. I'm sorry.
So we have the two beds, and I go to bed, and I like leave a light on for the guy because I'm not a jerk. He comes in, turns on all the lights, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know what? I don't need this. I'm just going to fake being asleep. He turns up the TV full blast. I'm like, all right. You know, so it's Tales from the Dark Side. It's all just screaming.
Then he put on his tin can necklace.
That's right. That would be good. I would like it. So I'm lying there and I start to get some sleep, and then I get woken up by the national anthem playing. I'm like, well, now he's being a real jerk. He's mm-hmm. watching the whole national anthem, and then you hear the beep, and it's like, oh, really? We're going to play this game.
Then you realize you were in Poltergeist.
I would have loved to have been in Poltergeist, the production values. So Craig T. Nelson, you know.
That's right.
You know, a nice guy. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be with
Joe
him.
Beth Williams?
Oh, yeah. We could just name them all. The little
girl, I can't. I'm done.
And we're done. And the ghosts.
And the rest.
So I go, well, I'm going to just like, I'll get up. I'll turn the TV off. Mm-hmm. And so I look over and he's in his bed and he's sitting straight up and his eyes are open and his mouth's open mm-hmm. and he's dead.
Really?
And so he's dead. And so I'm going, oh, the comic I'm with is dead. And he's there and is like, he's dead. And
so he's sitting up and he's dead.
And he's dead. And my first thought
was he slumped over or was he just
sitting? No, he's
totally
just sitting up dead. And my first thought was, well, at least the tour is over. And then he woke up because he slept with his eyes open, but he was as dead as you could be. Like it was just, and you thought like for the amount he was drinking, I was like, oh,
that's what I was thinking.
He drank himself to death.
I just thought he drank so much that he basically had – it was like formaldehyde and he had preserved himself.
Oh, just pickled himself.
Yeah, and then he died and then there was like absolutely no relaxation of the muscles.
Well, you know what we could have done then? If he had died in that way, I could have still taken him on tour and just played his CD. Like, I don't think you really need all the motions that he had to make those homophobic racist jokes work. I think I just played the CD, put him up on stage, put the mic in front. And frankly, I don't think anyone would have noticed too much. No. But when I realized that I didn't care if the person I was working with died or not, I thought, this isn't healthy. And I quit doing stand-up for quite a long period of time. That's why I stopped doing stand-up.
So basically, it was your fault.
Yes.
Oh.
What?
Well, that's what I got out of that story.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
The moral, everyone, is stand-up is bad for you, and it's Ian's fault.
No, not at all. I later got into stand-up when I realized I didn't have to tour with jerks. And that's a good rule of thumb, by the way, for anyone with any job, is you don't have to work with jerks.
No, don't roadie for jerks like Ian does.
Look, I'm not a roadie for the Fair enough. All right, you're going to be like that, I'm also cranky because the fire alarm went off at like 4 in the morning last night. And I wasn't home. My wife, Pia, gave me a little text going, fire alarm. And we've had that before where the fire alarm went and it was a fire. So I was like, oh, she's got to get like the two cats, one who's game for getting in the carrier, one who is in no way, is like the Tasmanian devil.
Okay.
You know, not good for this at all. So I had to do the big bolt home, and it was all freaky deaky.
So what did you have to do? Did you wrap the other cat in a towel and take him outside?
That's not a bad way of doing it. No, by that point we found out that it wasn't a go, but there was enough people that were out front, like all cranky. But the last time we had the fire, it was kind of interesting because you would think like there's a fire, everyone's outside and sad. But what happened was,
everyone's studying their insurance policies. And
that's
smiling.
Right. They all brought them out and brought out their desks.
Yeah.
And they brought out those little
visors.
Yeah, the visors, the caps. And I'm like, where do you buy those?
The green tinted visor.
Yeah. I'm like, where do you buy those? Well, you can
and
get
then
them
they at, have the arm cuffs to keep their sleeves up from getting income.
You can get them in an accountant or poker shop.
That's right.
Those are the two places you can get
only
them.
Two places.
That's right. Or in the anachronism district.
You can go to anachronisms R Us.
That's right. So you think like people would be sad outside like the fire, but no, everyone was happy. And the reason was because kids got woke up and they were all like, something's going on. Mm-hmm. And so the kids were like, okay. And then the parents, not wanting to scare the kids, were acting like, hey, we're just going outside. And it's like, that's nice. And then you got to bring all the pets out. So all the dogs are out and the dogs are like, surprise walk.
Yeah, they're all excited because they can smell the skunks in the neighborhood.
Yeah, they're liking it.
Yeah.
So they're all like, yeah. And then all the kids are there going, look at all these dogs. So they couldn't be happier. So they're happy. And the parents, because
it's
they're
a carnival atmosphere.
Yeah, the parents are faking being happy. And when you fake being happy, you actually become happy eventually.
Yeah.
And so everyone's happy. The only ones that are not happy, all the cats. All the cats who are in carriers.
Well,
and they're
cats
miserable.
Are notoriously unhappy.
Yeah, miserable.
At the best of times.
Well, a cat... You can't please a cat. Like a cat will be happy for a brief period of time and then it'll immediately go back to being angry no matter what. It's like a person from Quebec. You can give them a jazz festival and they'll be happy for a brief period
That's
of time,
right.
but they'll
That's
be
right.
complaining the next damn day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People from Quebec are like cats.
Well, they just had to put up with jazz for a week. So no wonder they're complaining the next day.
I know. It feels like something, you know, but you know what? For some reason that soothes cranky people.
Jazz.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the reason for jazz.
That's why it was invented?
Yeah. Well, when was jazz invented? Like around what era was jazz invented in America?
That's a good question. I don't.
They
the
always
1930s?
Say, yeah.
What
was happening
credit?
Then?
Like Jelly Roll Morton?
Yeah, there.
The
it was the Depression.
Kind of...
We're depressed. It was
they're
the
depressed.
Crankiest
okay,
cranky. Time. The crankiest
like,
time. It's like we need...
People were too hungry to be cranky.
Well, they were... Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't have a full crank
most,
on.
It was the most logy time.
Yeah, it was logy.
People were just kind of... stumbling around.
That's right. And that's why the most popular singer at the time, I think, was Logie Carmichael.
Logie Carmichael, yes.
That's right.
That's
he
right.
was the logiest.
Yeah.
He was like, are y'all ready to do nothing? And they were like, yeah. And his concerts were very – it was interesting. They would have the mosh pits, but they would have like little nap blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And people would just like have a nap in. And from then, that style of music went on to be like you got your Perry Como's. And then to this day, like your Radioheads.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it all stems back from Logie Carmichael.
Logie Carmichael.
Yeah.
So when people go to see Radiohead, they gather near the front of the stage and sleep.
Yeah, they just grab a good nap.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's the
that.
Point. I mean, Radiohead is one of the most successful bands in the world because 8 hours out of the day, they're perfect. And you can't say that about most other bands.
No,
most other bands, like your Bruce Springsteens will go 3 to 4 hour concerts.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like, woo. But then you're, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But then a Radiohead, you can listen to that for 8-9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go 10. You'll get a headache. That's a little too far.
That's over listening to
That's
Radiohead.
Over Radioheading it.
Yeah.
But, you know, boy, just a good 8 hour sleep. Radiohead? Yeah. Nice. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the future of music is, Dave.
Glad you told me.
Yep.
I feel more informed. That's one thing I like about Sneaky Dragon is that every show I go home and I think to myself, I really learned something tonight.
Oh, yeah. We are total.
I learned a valuable moral. Just like tonight, I learned a valuable moral that, you know, you wrecked things.
Yep. We are what I think the media calls, I think one of our reviews said, we are informatards.
That's what one of our reviews said?
I don't know.
Oh, that's what you think it would say if we were reviewed.
Yes, we are informatards.
If someone reviewed our show.
Yeah, and that is in no way a slur on anyone who has like a real disorder.
Who is an actual informatard.
That's right, yes. Yeah. I'm just saying like what we do though, we give you a small amount of information, but there is a backwash. Like and it pulls information out of your head.
A backwash of ignorance?
Yeah. Like okay. For every one thing we put in your head, we remove five crucial things.
Five crucial facts, yeah.
Yeah. So after, like, here's a good thing to do after you've listened to our show. Try doing some basic math. Like, here's an example. Right now, I'm going to say a fact and then I will do a quick test to our audience.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's a fact.
Oh, okay. Super Mario 2 was not technically a sequel to Super Mario. Okay. Brothers. It was actually based on a separate video game. And now, quick, 7 times 8.
56.
Oh, that's good. You're good. Okay, but the audience, was one for the audience.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I won't answer the next one.
Okay. All right. I'll try.
Another question again. Okay. Another fact again.
Okay. I'll try another fact. The Flintstones not only advertised breakfast cereal, but they also advertised Winston cigarettes. What two provinces border Alberta?
Saskatchewan and BC.
See, once you know what you are, David, and I don't want to call names.
Okay.
But you are a know-it-all.
I am.
There is a show right now on TV called Canada's like greatest know-it-all or something. You should be on that show, sir, because you are a know-it-all.
I am a bit of it. Well, it's not that I'm a know-it-all. Mm-hmm. It's more that I'm a show-off.
Okay, well, listen, I will say I'm going to do a test for you right now.
Okay.
I will say a question about the provinces.
And so you don't want me to answer this one?
Let's see if you can go without.
If I can't. Okay, without
Let's see if you can go without, sir.
Okay.
I put it to you that you're an addict, an answer addict.
An answer addict. Okay.
Okay. All right, ready?
Yeah. Yep.
What is the Keystone Province?
Saskatchewan.
Oh, shoot. There we go. Boom. Yeah. We're going to have an intervention for you.
It's the Keystone Province.
I'm sorry, David. No. You're an answer addict. And, you know, and I feel bad because I feel like an enabler because we go to pub quiz together and we take advantage of your knowledge at pub quiz and we do quite well. We win quite a bit.
We do. We can wave our geek flag high.
That's right. Well, there's also historical things and
there are
things.
Historical things.
But
those aren't the questions we answer, but there are historical questions.
Right. And you are the only one here who has gone to a university. You are a learned man.
Yes. Yes.
You are trepidatious about that. But sir, I put it to you, you have trod on a university and they did not go, hey, what are you doing here? Much like me. They would say to me like, hey, what are you here? And I'd have to go, I'm here to use the bowling alley. And then they go, all right, it's really for students, but that's fine.
Okay. Can I play Space Harrier?
Really, that didn't happen to you.
Didn't it?
Did they actually ask those questions?
No.
I was never questioned. School.
But I did go to UBC, University of British Columbia, quite a bit to use the bowling alley.
Okay.
And they had a nice arcade there, so I would go there. I'd sometimes go to the sub building. I liked the food fair there. Okay. I used to like
– I don't remember that.
I'm – you know, when you write on a form and you say some college, that's me. I'm some college. I have not completed college. Oh. I did all the college, but there was a little thing that happened where they went, oh, we realized we didn't cash that check of yours. Would you like to get the degree or would you like the money back? And I went, I'll take the money, please. And
that was a common answer that you had at that time.
Yeah, I would like my money and not a theater degree because and I'll tell you, Dave.
You'd realize something about a theater degree?
Well, I'll tell you, the amount of times that someone's asked, hey, buddy, you got a theater degree? since I didn't graduate has been, let's see, never. That's never happened at all. So
really?
Yeah.
You've never, because I often get asked that in stores when I'm buying things.
Yep.
I often get asked that.
Right.
Like, do you have a theater degree? And I'm like, no, I don't. And
well,
like,
it's because.
Oh, and then they kind of put something away and I'm like, what?
Well, it's because you go into a store and you ask for a muse of fire.
Ask for what?
A muse of fire.
A muse of fire.
Oh, for a muse of fire. Yes.
Oh, okay. Is that a?
It's just a Shakespearean reference.
It's not a reference I'm getting.
Well, of course not.
You with do all
not,
my university,
you do not have a theater degree.
That's my problem.
They will tell you what that's all about.
Then I would have got
Henry V. It's the beginning of Henry V.
Henry V. Okay.
It's available in convenient movie form as well. Mm-hmm. It's quite. Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Branagh, I think, is it?
Sure, you can pronounce it that way if you want.
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, Branagh.
How do you say it?
I don't know. I don't say it. Kenneth. I don't know the guy. It's never come up.
You've never had to say it?
No. When would I have to say it? When if I have to introduce him for like an award or something? Never.
You just call him Kenny B.
I do. And if I'm in a play with a guy, I just call him like Henry V. I
wouldn't
call him. I go, Your Majesty.
He's so in character.
Yeah.
He never gets out. He never leaves character. So as soon as he steps into that role, he is Henry V.
Well, when he was directing Thor, I believe he directed it as Henry V.
He also directed that as Henry V.
Yeah. Well, what he did was,
I'm so into this role as the director of Thor. I'm going to direct it as Henry V.
Happened was he, and a lot of people were on set going, where's the director?
Mm-hmm.
And what they didn't know was, the sound guy was the director because Henry disguised himself as a common person to walk among them and to see what do the common people think of this. And they thought, the idea of a guy with a hammer sounds kind of dumb to us. Like, oh, it is a dumb idea, but I will still direct it. And he went forth and, you know, there you go. And he gave him, he gave him a great pep speech at the rap party. Fantastic.
Just a rousing speech.
Oh, a big rousing. And he went, where was this at the beginning of the shoot? It's a good point. It's a good point. Should have given it to you at the beginning of the shoot.
Have you ever seen the movie Henry V?
Yes. Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about the Kenneth Branagh?
The Kenny B one.
Kenny B.
Does it open, or is it my imagination that it opens with a 10-minute shot of a door?
Are you thinking of Return of the Jedi?
No, not that door.
That also
is a different. That is a 2-hour shot of a door.
All right.
This movie.
It
seems to me
the tiger and the lady.
The lady and the tiger.
Okay.
I am not thinking of that. Lady or the tiger.
Fair enough.
Because both of them don't hop out at the same time.
Who can choose?
I'll open both doors at the same time.
Okay. What's up, Tiger Lily? Is that
what I'm thinking about.
Okay. No, I don't know. So there's a door. There's a long shot of a door. You're saying at the beginning.
That's all I remember that film because I think I stopped watching it because I got tired
of scared of doors.
I got tired of the door.
Film,
I wasn't comfortable.
Something you got to know about
scared of it.
Dave is any film that has a door in it, he'll just turn it off.
Yeah.
Like he will not watch a movie with a door. It's like done.
Not even the movie The Doors. I had to turn that off.
Oh, that's multiple doors.
I was just afraid of the fact that they might show more than one door in that movie.
I
think they did. I think they showed several doors.
Yeah, and they might break on through to the other side.
They might light my fire.
Mm-hmm.
They might, you know, I was just hoping that it would be the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was waiting.
Keep going.
I was waiting for the sun.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the love parade. Yeah.
Can you keep this up for 30 seconds? Go.
No.
Oh, come on. You're the music expert of us.
What do you mean I'm the music? I know, like, I would say, I can't keep tying L.A. Woman to, you know, Riders in the Storm, Peace Frog.
Yeah. Here we go.
Bring Morrison. It
home. Ten more seconds, Dave.
10 more seconds.
7
Horse
seconds.
Latitudes.
Nice one. 5.
Oh, come on, people.
4.
Someone, give me something. Give me something. Give me one. Give me a break on through. You said that already, didn't you?
And I'm sorry, Dave. But did you have fun playing?
No, I didn't because I got all nervous.
Okay, we've got some silverware for you. We've got
the rest of the show. I'm going to be sweating.
That was exciting. It became game showy for a while.
Yeah, it was exciting. We'll have to put in a boop, 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 boop.
Oh, that's copywritten.
We'll have to put in a
boop.
Boop. We'll do it backwards. Can you sing it backwards?
Wait, does that break copyright?
Yeah, if you do it backwards, it's totally out of copyright.
Really?
Yeah.
So all the back masking songs, if you listen to all those songs that like you can hear all the Satan stuff on them, that's fine and you can
That's fine. You could take Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
And just play the chords backwards and make your own song out of it. Yeah, that's totally all right. I'm not saying if you take the song and play it backwards, it's okay. No, that's not okay.
It isn't.
No.
Because backwards, is that backwards law? That's interesting. If you play backwards, if I play Star Wars backwards, what happens if I play Star Wars backwards?
It would be good.
It wouldn't be bad. It would not be bad. Well, actually, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you play Star Wars with the prequels backwards, doesn't that end where it begins anyway?
Does it? No, it doesn't.
No.
Because there's like a gap of some years of the children growing up before we come back into the...
I don't know. And you don't either because I know you have only watched Star Wars movies once.
They're not worth watching more than once.
Oh, David. David.
I have, you know,
I want to protect you from the internet, but there's only so much I can do.
After that conversation, I was thinking, I mean, there are
Explain the conversation to our new listener.
Oh, I'm sorry, new listener. We were talking, Ian and I were
new
talking.
New listener? One new listener you think we've had.
Yeah.
That is low expectations.
No, no, but I'm speaking specifically to each new listener personally.
I understand.
Dear new listener, last show, Ian and I were talking about movies, and Ian asked me how often I've seen, you know, movies like Star Wars and, was it Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Which isn't much. That's fine.
You're not saying that the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you're not saying that's not much of a movie. That's not what you just said.
No, I love Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Very good. So much so that you never watch it.
I've seen it twice. Mm. I've seen it twice.
You know what? I love steak. How often do you eat it? I don't.
But you know, I really thought I liked The Matrix a lot.
Uh-huh.
Which I've seen once.
Okay.
And I watched it tried to watch it the other day and I got really bored.
Oh.
Like I just wasn't that into it. I don't know, maybe I've grown up. I'm no longer that interested in, you know, 1990s gun porn. But I don't know. It just didn't seem that thrilling to me. So, and I really liked it in the theater when I saw it. I, you know, maybe the other two movies kind of blew it for me. But I don't know. I just wasn't that interested in it.
I didn't even mind the other two movies. I liked the second one okay. And then
the third one was really boring.
The third one was weird. And then you got all of a sudden like a big baby head. Like, who are we going to talk to? We're going to talk to the head of all this. All right, here it comes. And here comes the head of all this. And by that, I mean a giant baby head.
I don't even remember that.
There was a baby head. And it was like the Gerber's baby face just formed out of like metal. And just had a conversation for no reason.
It just seemed like that movie was absolutely no fun at all.
Mm-mm.
But I don't remember it at all.
Well, what I do remember is like, how many times are you going to kill that girl?
Because I watched it once.
Yeah. Well, they just kept killing her. Just kept killing
her. Which girl?
Like, whatever. The girl. There's one girl. Isn't there?
And like Carrie Ann Moss?
Yeah, that's right. Vancouver actress Carrie Ann Moss.
They kept killing her?
Yeah.
In that movie?
Yeah. Like too often. Do you want to see like, you know, people getting blinded? No, you don't want to see that at all.
No.
You want to see happy, fun, punchy punch, maybe shooty shoot. You know, that's what you want to see.
Well, yeah. I mean, the first movie is great. And I think what's great is it kind of leaves everything hanging there. Like
yeah.
You can create your own next part. You know, like I don't think the next two films actually add anything to what you experience with the first film.
Well, it can never live up to what's in your head.
Well, that's the thing. And the end of the final movie, the end is such a downer.
Mm.
You know, like it's really what happens at the end of the first film is really kind of exciting and fun.
Yeah, this world's like going to be cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, and he discovers and da da da, and then the reality is blah.
Well, man, maybe we'll try and fix this. All right, it's like yeah, the first film ends with like a party's starting.
Yeah,
like oh, that's great,
right.
And the last film ends with time to clean up. All right,
right,
let's start collecting the empties.
That's right. Yeah,
maybe
that's
it'll
horrible.
Be okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I think it's kind of sad in that, you know, I want to show my niece and nephew Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. And what they'll never get.
What age are they?
They are right now 5 and 8.
8. What grade are you in? Grade 8? Or what grade? What 8? What grade are you in?
In grade 5, you're in kindergarten. So grade 8 would be you'd be grade 3 about when you're 8
or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think grade 5 to 6 is the perfect Star Wars age.
That's a good age. But I'm going to say, like, what they'll never get is something we got, which was that waiting period where you get the first movie and then you got like, hey, what do you think's going to happen? I don't know. Talk, talk, talk. Talk it up.
But not just that, not even knowing what it was and seeing – I remember there being commercials on television for the first film and you're seeing these scenes from this film with this, you know, this incredible hairy creature and spaceships and you had no idea what it was. And I remember turning to my dad and I saw the first commercial at my grandma's actually. We were there for dinner and I turned to my dad and said – this is going to be the greatest movie ever made. And my dad, sitting on the couch, went, no, I don't think so.
And you rub it in your dad's face
doesn't care because he wasn't in grade 5 when he saw that movie.
Oh, no, I understand. But every time you go and you visit your dad, you mention, number one film ever, Dad.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad. Hey, what's
that's
the number
right.
one film ever?
Mm-hmm. Well,
was that the one
is,
that I called when I was a kid? Yep. Yup.
I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And when I go there, I just rub the paper in his face.
Yeah.
And my dad's kind of old now. He can't really defend himself.
No, and he's got to respect that.
Yeah.
He's got to respect it.
My incredible physical strength. And
well, he got it. You know, you got it from him. So he's got to go, a little bit of me is in
that's
you.
That's right. A little bit of me is tormenting me.
That's right. And so you know what? It's a little bit of self-loathing.
Yeah.
And, you
yeah.
know, that's fine. But here's why I think, like, you know, Boba Fett is the most popular of all the, you know, he's one of the, like, super
is
popular.
Is he that popular? Or
he is popular. Okay. Boba Fett is popular.
His name is what makes him popular.
Well,
it's Boba Fett.
Look at the
awesome.
The prequels. The guy's all over the damn thing, like Boba Fett. It's like little Boba Fett, Jango Fett, all the Fetts, the Fett family, the Fett family
but
reunion.
But you see, that's not, Boba Fett is great in Empire Strikes Back because he's there and he's gone.
What?
He has a cool, he flies an iron.
Right.
And he wears a cool mask.
Yes, he does.
And then that's all you need to know about that guy.
And, sir, I will tell you why he has become so popular. Here's the reason.
Not, don't tell me it's because of Slash Fiction.
Yes, it is. It's because Slash Fiction that I wrote back then. I invented Slash Fiction.
You invented Slash Fiction.
If you don't know what Slash Fiction okay. is, don't
Leia,
look it up.
Leia slash Boba.
Yeah. No, what happened was they had all the action figures. You had all the action figures come out. So you got your Leia, your Han, your mm-hmm. Chewie, your all this. Yeah, yeah. And then because...
Don't forget C-3PO.
C-3PO. And
did you say Chewbacca?
Chewbacca, the Wookiee, yes. Okay. All right.
R2-D2, did you say R2-D2?
No, I did not say R2-D2. Okay. For a guy that only saw this once, good.
I saw it twice.
Twice, oh, fair enough. And then you got your Boba Fett. Now, Boba Fett is barely in Empire Strikes Back at all. And so it's like,
yeah, that's perfect.
What's the deal with this guy? Like, he like mm-hmm. talks very briefly. You know nothing about him. So as a kid, when you had the action figures and you're playing in the backyard, who do you go nuts with? Boba Fett. You make your own story up for Boba Fett.
He did have the song in Empire Strikes Back.
Please give the song.
I'm just a Fett. I'm only a Fett. Nobody loves a Fett. Don't you remember that part in the movie?
Oh, yeah, of course. Everyone remembers that part.
It's great. It's and it's like famous. Raining on him.
Yeah.
In the Cloud City.
Yeah.
What was the Cloud City called? Lando Calrissian?
It was called Cloudsville.
Armenia City in the Sky?
It was called Cumulusburg.
That was a Who reference.
Oh, that's good. Another musical reference. Yep. But because as a kid, you make up your own story with Boba, you become more connected to that. And that becomes almost more real than like if you're playing with Luke. Because Luke
flies an iron.
That's right. But you make up your own stuff. So because you like Boba so much, mm-hmm. but you like Boba not for things that Boba was on the screen. You like Boba for your backyard playing with the guy.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why you have such affection for him. Mm-hmm. And then when you got to the prequels, they went, oh, people love Boba. Let's give him a lot of backstory.
Let's
it's like, that's the
stuff.
Opposite.
Yeah.
We don't want to know that he was a clone and he had a dad and he watched his dad die and he's sad.
Yeah.
We don't want to know Boba being sad because then Boba, when he has a sad ending, that's really sad. You mean the kid. You know, wait a second. This kid who had a real hard upbringing, he falls in the Sarlacc pit?
Is that what happens to him? I don't remember.
Well, depends what version you see, whether he gets out or not.
Okay.
But if you go with the version that he's in there.
It's when, like, near the at the end of Return of the Jedi, there's a scene of him crawling out of the pit. That's the final scene of the movie. Crawls out. He's like, whew.
And then he winks, which is really hard with the mask.
And then the movie ends.
And then
there.
It goes, the end. And then a spinning question mark comes up.
The end?
That's right. It's like, you know, it ain't the end. But yeah, if that guy's getting dissolved for 1,000 years and he's like for being like a bounty hunter, meanwhile, Darth Vader, who's like killing kids and doing all this shit, what, he gets to be happy Casper the Ghost with his buddies by the fire?
That's right.
And like hang out with the Ewoks and have a good time?
What's so nice
Boo.
To see the Mr. Potato Boo. Head Ghost?
What's that about Mr.
The Mr. Potato Head Ghost? Well, didn't he look, I always say he looked like Mr. Potato Head at the end of, but you know what? I've only seen that movie once.
But then
so
they
I have
made
a
Darth Vader Mr. Potato Head. And it's like,
did they?
Yeah, they did. There's a Mr. Potato Head Darth Vader.
They agreed with me.
Right. And it's like, he already looks like Mr. Potato Head. This does work completely.
Yeah.
That's and there you go.
Well, we all agree with that.
But I think that is a drag for kids now is that they don't get that waiting period. Like, it's the same thing with comic books. Like, you know, today they announced that there's going to be a Watchmen prequels coming out.
Okay.
And that was a comic book I know we both really enjoyed when it came out. And one
awesome.
Of the best parts about it was in between issues, much like you would do with, say, a show like Lost. You would go, oh, what do you think it is? And you'd talk it up and you'd go, maybe it's this. And did you pick up this clue? And did you see this scene?
Mm-hmm.
And now everyone who reads it just reads it like all at once. And,
well, yeah, and
with no suspense, and there you go.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was reading
it. It is pretty funny, isn't it?
It is hilarious, actually.
Let's just take a second
to
enjoy.
I'm just going to stitch up my side that split. It's interesting that you say that because I was reading this article about Cerebus. And in there, this guy was reading a lot of them quickly. Mm-hmm. He was basically
Cerebus is an aardvark.
He is an aardvark.
Right.
And he lives in a land called Honnali. And
I think you're getting that wrong.
No, that's true. If you look on the map, anyway, in this thing, he's talking about how in the early issues when he was still sort of the barbarian character, he meets Jaka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call her Jaka. I don't really know how to pronounce her name, but I think it's Jaka.
Okay.
Then she shows up, 40 issues later or something like that in High Society.
Mm-hmm. Which is the next chapter.
Next chapter of the story. You never see her in between those. In the, when it was in the original run, there was a space of many years before she showed up again. Which gave her a reappearance more importance than it really had. Like, if you read the two graphic novels together, well, really, it's just a day between you reading about her in one book and about her showing up in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get that space, that sense of time passing before you see her again, and it loses that importance.
Yeah.
And same with Watchmen. I mean, what was great about that was that you read it, you waited a month for the next issue, but over that month, you you went over and over that article with friends and you read it and you tried to figure out what was happening. You looked for clues. You looked for all those kind of interesting Alan Moore-isms.
And they were there. There was and a lot of weird there. Details. Right. Yeah.
There was lots of interesting details, lots of repeating things, lots of symmetry, characters that related to each other. And you could go back again when Rorschach was revealed. You could go back and find him in the past issues and see him in different settings. And it opened up that character and made you understand what he knew as Rorschach compared to, you know, and yeah, it really opened it up. But only because you read it month by month.
Mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't have that sense of, I don't know if you can call it grandeur or whatever. I mean, I really enjoyed Watchmen up until the end. I never liked the ending of Watchmen. Mm-hmm. I always felt that was a weak point of it. But mm-hmm. I love.
Well, for those of you who don't know the ending to Watchmen, in the comics,
are you gonna,
a little different.
Blow it?
Yeah, it is a big musical number.
That's right. And I'm not a fan of the song. The song
is a ripoff of Boba Fett's song in Star Wars.
That's right. It's Ozymandias.
Right.
He's just singing. He's just going, I'm just an Oz. I'm only an Oz. Just an Ozymandias. And you're just like, again?
Yeah.
Like, boo.
Well, to be fair, from the 70s to the 80s, there was only 10 melodies.
Yes.
That's true. There was only 10 melodies. All songs, if you listen, from the 70s to the 80s. This was the disco.
Melody Anderson.
Yeah, this was. What's that?
Melody Anderson. Melody Smith.
Yeah, they named them all. They named all the melodies with proper names. Yeah. That's what they did.
That's right.
Yes. But it was the disco era, so it was just like, throw any melody over a beat, we don't care. They would just change the drums.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a very simple time. There was a lot
and
of
the bass part. Would you usually just go boom 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 boom?
Like, yeah, and then the 80s, most songs were just people talking about, like, walking, say, a distance, like 500 miles.
Was that when the talking was popular?
Yeah,
in the 80s.
It was just like, I'm gonna walk 500 miles, and what are you gonna do? Another 500 miles would be good.
I think they sang that song, didn't they?
Well, here's the thing. They were Scottish.
I'm going to walk 500 miles.
That's how Scottish people talk.
I'm going to go get a thing for my sport. And yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
actually.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's just completely.
I'm going to toss this caber over there. Yeah.
That's right. Right. You know, yeah. If you ask for instructions on, like, how do I get to Kiltsburg, you know, you have to walk down the street and ye have to dee da ba ba ba.
Yeah.
So it's really sad, actually, that the Proclaimers got so much, you know, fame.
Attention, yeah.
Right. But
yeah.
But that's why you never really heard them do another song. It was because mm-hmm. that's the only one they got, because they were just like Scots talking. They were talking.
Yeah.
That's also true about the Beatles. The Beatles, most of their songs were just how British people spoke in the 60s and very early 70s. And in fact, like, at one point, you had John Lennon, you know, just went, you know what, to heck with it. I'm just going to straight talk. I'm just going to talk it up. And just kept saying the number nine over and over again.
Number nine?
That's right, number nine. Like, number this episode nine. Is number nine.
Number nine.
That's right.
I'm not a number.
Because they forgot to put the music underneath it. But that was. But the Beatles were just, you know, were just like talking. That's how people talked in England. It's a very musical culture.
It is. That's true, actually. They did have a kind of a lilting voice.
Oh, they did. It's a beautiful voice.
I can listen to it all day.
I always think, like, you know, if, like, Irish people ever, you know, just like stop and just go, we sound adorable to each other. We sound adorable. Just like turn and go, oh, we sound adorable. Listen to us. Oh, look at us. We're adorable.
I wonder if they think that or if they're, like, embarrassed by their accent and constantly trying to hide it.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Irish shame?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever use that soap, Irish shame?
Irish shame?
Yeah, and you could use it on any parts of your body mm-hmm. except your private parts.
Except your private
parts?
And
it would just, like, slip out of your hand if you even tried to touch your junk.
Is that right?
Yep.
And there's no fun in the shower, then.
Nope, no.
Okay.
Well, I remember, like, when I was young and watched Irish Spring ads, and they always bothered me because it was always, like, a guy showering in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he'd always take
a beautiful Aaron sweater.
That's right.
He'd still have it on in the water.
Well, he was that's because he thought he was using the shame soap.
Yeah.
But then he would like go, this is the best soap. And he'd take out his knife and he'd cut the soap and show you. And you're like, oh, you know, Ireland's so nice. You can shower in the woods. But if you do, you better bring a blade.
You better
pack a blade.
Where do you carry it?
That's the thing.
That's
he's showering. The
he's
guy's
showering,
buck
yeah.
naked. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, let me show you something. What? And pulls a knife out. That's hardcore.
Yeah.
Where were you keeping the knife?
Well, here's the secret. Incredibly tough foreskins. That's a well-known Irish feature.
That's right. That's on their license plates. Foreskin is forewarned.
They just think the Scottish are sissies for having a sporran.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I don't, you know, I don't need a sperm.
Well, if
I have my incredibly calloused foreskin.
Well, that's right. That's where...
From an early age, they have to carry things.
Yeah, if you remember...
School supplies.
The blue jeans, tough skins,
mm-hmm.
they were based on
that's right.
Irish foreskins.
Irish foreskins.
Yeah.
Similar material.
That's right. We're using our explicit warning again. If we don't use it... We lose it.
We lose it.
So
that's right.
We don't want to do this type of material, folks.
That's
like this is the last thing we want to do.
We hate it. We feel really bad about this. Both of us are blushing.
That's right. Both of us are clean as a whistle, guys.
Well, yeah. We never. I. In fact, I will not let my daughters listen to the show.
Unless they're drunk.
More than once. Unless they're drunk. they're only allowed to do that. That's right. They're only allowed to listen to it when they're on acid.
Yeah.
Because I think that actually makes the experience even more interesting.
Well, the weird thing is they keep writing reviews and they're just like,
and then,
this is like podcasting on acid.
While they're
like
listening to it, I mouth like I'm actually speaking what they're listening to. And I think this is good for kids.
All right. Well, we're going to call Child Protective Services on for that. I mean,
Did I say that I did that?
No. What?
Okay. No.
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's a gap missing from the show. I don't know what happened to it. There's a little 3-minute gap.
Well, we are, as we say, infotards. And we are going to give you a little, like some of the things that Dave will give you in this one. You will give tips on how to build things. If you look on our website now, you will see how to build a light table.
I'm incredibly proud of what's probably the longest post in all of
it's great.
Internet history.
But I'm going to just finish by saying, and also parenting tips.
If anyone has any questions about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been a parent now for 6 years.
Okay. Well, listen, let me ask you something, mister.
Okay.
If you're such a great dad,
yep.
How come none of your kids are boys?
That's a good question. And as it turns out, no, it's a good question.
Because boys
yep.
are superior.
Boys are better.
Yes.
And
so if the girls had reached their full potential,
mm-hmm.
why are they not boys?
Well, here's the thing. It's because I'm a big fan of crying children.
Oh.
And big boys don't cry. Girls, you can get huge globulous tears dripping down their faces.
Right.
Just the merest pointed comment.
Okay.
A stinging remark.
Well, let's
a minor rebuke.
All right. Let's have a scenario then for that. I'll be having dinner. We're having dinner at your place. What would you be serving?
What's
a typical dinner?
We're eating with the girls?
Yeah.
Crackers.
Okay. So I'm eating my crackers.
Yep.
All right, my Shane crackers.
Yeah, you're eating your crackers.
All right, and I'll say something that I did in school today, and then you can rebuke me. All right.
Okay.
All right. Right.
Who are you gonna be?
I will be. I don't want to name your daughters.
Don't name my daughters. Okay. Well, this is an imaginary
I'll be
third.
Phyllis.
This is my imaginary
your daughter,
third
Phyllis.
Daughter, Phyllis.
Okay,
yes, Phyllis.
Phyllis. Okay, so I'm eating a cracker. Here I go.
Tell us what happened at school today. Fill us in. You are such a messy eater. Look at your plate. It's like if I move it away, it's like the crone of the sun during an eclipse.
But father, my. Oh, father.
Oh, daddy.
So
and then I go over to the drawing table and I kick over the city I made.
That's right. This old drafty house. And then you go, try to commit suicide, as you try to every night, hoping an angel will stop you. And luckily, there's enough angels that they do every night. You come back, and then you're presented with a large bushel of cash. And so you never learn.
I'm ashamed. I found that so amusing.
That was not bad. That was not bad. That's good rebuking of a daughter.
Thank you.
But like, how would you rebuke? Now, say I'll make myself a boy in this mm-hmm. case. I'll be Philip.
Okay.
All right. So I'm Philip, and I'm eating my. A boy wouldn't eat a cracker. I'll eat a steak.
Okay.
So I'm eating a steak like a man. Man boy. And
I don't know. I don't know how to rebuke boys. I don't have children. I don't have boys.
Okay. All right.
Like that's really my downfall as a parent.
I do not have either boys or girls. But all right, you be the boy.
To me, if you're going to rebuke a boy, words are no good.
Right.
You just have to go straight to like corporal punishment. And what I would choose would be an axe.
Right.
I think that would be the best. The flat side of one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, no blood.
No.
You know.
No.
And
come
I always
on.
Do it where the bruises don't show. The face.
Is that right? Bruises
Wait,
don't show
No,
in the
they
face?
Actually show in the face.
No, what you got to
oh,
do
damn
is
it.
You got to even them out so it looks like 5 o'clock shadow.
That's right.
But to evenly distribute the bruises so
there
it looks
go.
Like Fred Flintstone.
Well, that's the thing. Well, you do it around the eyes, and then you can just disguise them as a raccoon.
Yeah, that is it. These are all really good tips, and I want to say to you, the audience, 8 times 8.
64. I did it again.
I know. You can't help
it. I can't help myself.
You know what you could have used? More axe beatings as a child.
I didn't get enough of those, obviously, as a child.
No. I never got that as a kid. I did go to Catholic school, so I got some good hand slapping.
Well, I got a spanking in kindergarten.
Really?
I just was
from the janitor?
The kindergarten teacher.
Oh, good. That's the best person to give you a spanking, yeah, at least.
Because of my continual tardiness, because I would often cut through the park near where I lived.
Right.
And I would spend a good half hour dawdling and get there quite late.
Right. Daydreaming.
Daydreaming. I mean, you know.
Basically what we call Billy and family circusing.
This was, you know, the early 1970s.
Right.
The world was you know, much safer then. There was, you know, no danger at all. And I would walk to school by myself in kindergarten. And I would often cut through the park. This was the park that was connected to a mental institution.
Mm-hmm.
So it was perfectly safe to cut
Big
through
sign,
there as well.
Big sign, don't have to be crazy to live here, but it helps.
It helps. That's right. Hang in there. And I got there so I don't really remember this. I do remember the spanking. I don't remember being that late that often that it warranted a spanking.
Right.
But apparently I was late enough that it warranted a spanking.
And spanking a child's bottom makes their legs move faster.
Well, it certainly made me kick a little bit.
I think that's the Flash's origin story. The Golden Age Flash was like a kid who got spanked so much that his legs started like pumping blood and he became the fastest man alive.
Luckily for me, I think that corporal punishment thing ended the next year, so I was safe. I could dawdle, be late, you know, it didn't matter.
Well, there's two things I would say. One, you know, I'm not for spanking, but once we stopped doing it to kids, they all became allergic to peanuts.
Yep.
Sign
of privilege.
That's right. And two, now that spanking's off the table for kids, they're going to have to come up with a new fetish.
Yeah.
What are dominatrixes in the future going to you know, be able to do?
What they're going to do is the guy will go there and then she'll give him a juice box.
Oh.
That will be the new sort of, you know, dominatrix thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Or also, like, don't let them outside. It'll be latchkey dominatrixes.
Okay.
Just like, you stay in here, and what are you going to do? I'll be back in a couple of hours, says the dominatrix.
That's right.
And she leaves.
And then she just turns on the TV and puts on Teletoon, and the boy...
That's right.
The boy under girl watches.
I must be bad.
Yeah.
I must be bad.
Oh.
Yeah. She puts on a VHS tape. Yeah.
Of a Disney film that's really scary, and the kid has no one to turn to in the moment of terror of the film. Did I ever tell you the story? This reminds me of...
does that fetish fantasy remind
this
you of,
reminds
Dave?
Me. Well, this reminds me of an experience I had with a woman. No, it actually reminds me of when...
Well, I know it's a lie because it's a woman.
My oldest daughter... What? It reminds me of... My oldest daughter was quite young and I had to put a new deadbolt on our door.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had to be doing this. So I put on a movie for her to watch, which was Winnie the Pooh's Grand Adventure, which was kind of a late 90s sequel to the original Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
Would she love Winnie the Pooh?
Who
because
doesn't?
She was that age. I mean, I
Canadian,
still love
yeah. Based on a Canadian bear.
Based on a Canadian bear whose name was Winnipeg.
That's right.
And
Winnipeg Theodore Poohstein.
Poohstein.
But he changed his name.
Yes.
For showbiz purposes.
To Pooberg. So I was working the door for that. Then I went and checked on my daughter. And she was sitting about 2 feet from the TV on her knees with her both hands clenched in her mouth. Absolute terror on her face at one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen in my life. I just thought this would be a light romp.
Right.
It's Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
It's Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
But no, they're going into a scary skull cave. The scariest cave I've ever... This is the scariest sequence I've ever seen in a movie. It's scarier than, like, the Snow White sequence.
Well, I got a problem here as well in that Winnie the Pooh is a stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have a skeletal system.
No,
are these skeletons coming from?
This is a skull-shaped cave. It's not like the opening of it is...
Once again,
like
David, I have to go. All right, now... The only human,
you have to go? All right,
well, no,
I'll
the only human in this universe is Christopher Robin.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one who has a skull.
Mm-hmm.
What are they basing this skull-shaped cave on?
Well, you are reaching the psychological depths of this movie. Yes?
Everyone is full of fluff.
Everyone is full of fluff.
If they've seen a skull, someone has died previous to Christopher Robin in this world.
Well, you have to remember. Okay, here's the thing you have to remember about Winnie the Pooh. It is not the animals who are imagining the world. It is Christopher Robin who is imagining the world, and he is perfectly aware of what a skull is.
All right.
You have to remember that about Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, right, because he's part of the Manson family.
He's right.
Christopher Him and Robin. Goofy. Right,
Him
right.
And Goofy.
Sorry, I didn't know that.
Christopher Robin, Tex Watson, and Bobby Beausoleil.
Yep.
You know, some of the better known. Name the women.
Name the women?
Name the women who are in
Kelly,
the Manson family.
Kelly,
yeah.
Janie.
Barbie.
Barbie, yeah. Peppermint Patty.
Peppermint Patty, well-known Manson family member.
That's right.
Hence the sandals.
Phyllis, your daughter Phyllis.
Phyllis, he was a member.
Phyllis,
yep.
Phyllis Crackers Dedrick.
Phyllis Crackers Dedrick.
Would leave
Dedrick.
Cracker crumbs at the murder scenes of other crime going, well, do you love me now, Daddy? Do you love me now? And then she'd try and whistle and
I
she
wish it was that simple. It's just that she is such a sloppy eater that she, even there, she spilled cracker crumbs all over the place. good God.
Why? Okay, now why was Winnie the Pooh going to this skull cave? Was it pirate treasure?
You know what? You're asking the wrong person. You're asking the guy who is installing a deadbolt in a door.
Because I do remember Winnie the Pooh. They had the Heffalumps and Woozles song.
But that wasn't that scary. That wasn't that scary. It was funny.
Well, you know, it's all perspective.
They're doing all kinds of funny things in it.
I suppose they are. And it's the skull funny. Cave is not at all.
It's not funny.
Fair enough.
It's scary to children. And apparently my daughter was very scared.
I'm very sorry. Is she okay now?
I think it's, you know, it hasn't come out yet, all the problems that it's caused.
Well, I mean, you've also been browbeating her and just feeding her crackers.
Well, that's
give the girl
the
some fruit.
No.
All right.
Well, she does get fruit.
Can't.
Fruit Loops.
All right. That's fine then.
Yeah.
Then that's in fruit. Wait
It has
second.
Real juice in it.
Does it? Now, I know they spell fruit, F-R-O-O-T. Do they spell juice, J-U-Z?
J-E-W-S.
Okay. That's fine then. Yeah. What? That doesn't sound right at all.
Mine. That's not my package.
Now, we were talking a little earlier. We were saying you were dawdling Billy from Family Circus style.
yes, I was always followed by a little dotted line.
Little dotted line.
Yeah.
I was at a comic book convention a little while back, and I met Jeffy from Family Circus.
Is Jeffy the one who would go on the long – wasn't it Billy who went on the
Billy went on the long walks. Okay. Jeffy was the redhead.
Jeffy was the
then
middle.
Then it was Dolly.
The middle child.
Then it was PJ. Then it went Barfy. Then it, which is a terrible name
for a
dog. Barfy.
Barfy, terrible.
Yeah, and then it was
a cat.
That's yeah. It's more of a cat's name, isn't it? It's Barfy, and there was another dog. They had two dogs, and then they had a cat called Kitty Cat, I think. But I met Jeffy, and his name's of course Jeff now because he's a full-grown man. He's the guy that draws the strip.
What does Billy do?
I have no idea what Billy
wanders.
Does.
He still wanders the world like kung fu.
That's right.
Everywhere
and they
goes,
call him Billy the Kid.
They know where he went because it's, Billy the Kid, and he's followed by this line everywhere he's gone across
the United States,
back and forth, crisscrossing.
He's got the little dash behind him. Yeah, that was a good gimmick. But I'm talking to Jeffy, and I run an idea by him because, like, I was buying one of the first collections. Right?
Wait a second. You ran an idea by him?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so here was it.
This seems a little presumptuous.
No.
Jeffy, I know you're working on this multi-million-dollar franchise,
yes.
This world-famous 50-year franchise
True.
Here, but I have a way to improve it.
No,
and here's
it wasn't
my
that.
Idea.
No, sir. No, it was more of a question.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And it was he was showing me the original collection. If you look at the original collections, the dad – now, when you picture the dad from Family Circus, you picture, like, fit. He's a fit guy. He's got glasses.
Pipe.
Maybe then he stopped having a pipe. But if you look at the early Family Circuses, dad's a fat guy, kind of balding, and drunk. Like, he's a drunk. Like, he's always like, don't tell your mom what we're doing. Like, there's a lot of that, like, coming
really?
Back from the – yeah, it's like a lot of like –
He's drunk driving?
Yeah. He drives drunk for sure. Like, but he's coming back home and like, you know, daddy took us to the racetrack. Well, when I was talking to him about it, I was going, yeah, like your dad back then. He went, yeah, it was kind of like Mad Men of the time. It was like, yeah, he looks like a character from Mad Men.
Mm.
And I said, what I always thought was – That,
Don Draper?
Yeah, very Don Draper of Don Draper. Well, one of the side guys. Not one of the main – not Don Draper, but like one of the other guys that works
Don
for
Don Drooper?
Yes, Don Drooper.
Okay.
Well, that's a good peanut – not peanuts, but Sesame Street type thing. You talk to someone about that and
I'll
make it not
right
me.
Away.
But I said to him, oh, it looks like your mom had this kind of drunkard and then just went, I've had enough of this, and then traded up to this real nice guy who's got like – he's a cartoonist. He's like a church-going man. He's fit. You know, he's a great, great guy. And it looks like
in the cartoon,
it looks
he's
like
a church-going guy, or was he literally?
Well, it both is the same because
Bill
dad
Keen
was based.
Was
Bill Keane was the guy. So he
replaced the original. Oh, wait.
Well, that's what I thought.
Okay, sorry.
It looks like, oh, it's two different dads. Like she ditched this guy and went with this guy. And he went, oh, no. You know, and he was saying to me, no. Mommy would never do that. And I went, oh, that's a little odd that he's calling the character mommy because it's Thel. And then I realized, oh, my God. This is his mom.
Yeah.
Like the character. This is
just
his
insulted and called him murderous.
Well, no, I didn't call him murderous. No,
yes, you did.
Divorced.
You implied that she murdered this
No,
person.
Divorced.
Oh, that's 50s talk. Divorce means murder.
You know what? For someone who raised a daughter who's in the Manson family and killing people and leaving crackers on the bed to prove that, you know, her love for you.
I've told you
I
before
think you
that
are
she's
on a...
just spilling them because she's a slob. But anyway.
All right. I think you are on a bit of a high horse, mister, on this whole murder thing.
Yep.
But yeah, I just thought, oh my gosh, that is your mom. And it's just so weird, like thinking like a lot of these things that actually happened to you. And I was talking to the real Jeffy. It was cool. It was like meeting Daffy Duck for real. But he's like, yeah, just the sweetest guy. Really, really nice. It was a very good experience.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Except that he called his mom a murderer.
Oh, I did not. I did not call his mother
you know,
a murderer.
Don't you know the expression from the Bible? Judge a lot since you'll be judged.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What Bible is that? Is that King James?
James King's. the guy, my friend.
That's, oh, yeah, but he just went, I just made it up. That's on page one. I just made this up.
No, no, it's in the Ultra Testament.
Look, I read Genesis where it's the story of Adam and others, and it's just too vague. All it says is some shit went down, and that's it. And then it's like, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You read Genesis, it just said Abacab.
I don't get that. What does that mean?
That's a song by Genesis.
Oh, my gosh.
I tried to go, like, more modern.
Oh, my gosh.
I could have gone, like, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway or something, but no.
Wow.
Well, it doesn't work if you have to explain it. If it's just a witty drop-in. But,
no.
But no, I had to, like,
nope.
I had to take that joke and drag it back and forth across the floor, walking out of the whole time.
No, thank you, Ian. Fine. No, it's
thanks
fine.
A lot. No, no, no. It's fine. I have no problem with it.
Okay.
Sniff.
Oh, for crying
tear,
out loud.
Wipe tear from
see,
my...
Dave, you're not going to get some of my nerdy comic book references, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to get some of these hip, slick music hip, references.
Hip Genesis, super popular
edge.
Song from the 1980s.
That's right.
I mean, I admit it's, you know, it's dated, but okay, it's very dated. And then who remembers those songs? You know what? Abacab was the chord progression of the song.
Oh, okay.
Do you know the song Badge by Cream?
No.
That's also the
basically, chord this progression is the answer the to every musical question you're going to ask me.
Okay.
Hey, you ever hear of, and if it's any way obscure? No.
Badge isn't that obscure.
Okay, ask me another one.
Another like trivia question?
Well, generally, yeah. Like, have you heard of this song from this? Okay, give me a song.
Okay, you know the song by the Doobie Brothers, Jesus Is Just All Right With
Yes,
with me?
I do know that.
You know
yeah.
that song?
Yes.
Okay. That song is actually a cover of The Byrds, who covered it by a band called the Art Taylor Group. There was a L.A. Gospel Trio, or Gospel Quartet. It's true. Did you know that?
I did not know okay. that. So my point is made. Okay. I don't know. But not that that's bad. I like getting knowledge. Again, four things have now fallen out of my head. I don't know how to get home.
You don't know how to get home now.
I've forgotten my wife's birthday.
Quick, 9 times 7.
9 times 7?
Yeah.
A number?
You're going to?
63. 63? Is it? Still?
Yeah.
63?
Yep.
Really? Even with... Even in metric,
nine
it's 63?
Nine is easy because you can just subtract the number you're multiplying from its
that's
from
true.
its number multiplied by 10.
So. And it is, I'll tell you something else about 54. Nine. This is our ninth episode, number nine. And number nine is the naughtiest number.
Nine is the naughtiest number?
Well, because
one is the loneliest number.
That's right, that you'll ever do. But you know what? Two
can
be
as bad as one.
One.
Yep, that's right.
It's the loneliest number since number one. Three? It's also quite lonely.
It's like
four is as well quite lonely. Five. Did I mention how lonely it is? Almost six. As lonely as one. Six. Also quite a bit lonely.
Six
and seven.
Is the desolation of having many people around you.
That's right. Eight.
Seven can be as bad as six. Mm-hmm. Only there's one more person who gets on your nerves.
And nine is naughty because
nine
Schoolhouse
is
Rock
the
has a their cartoon about nine is about a cat who just abuses a mouse. Through the whole thing.
That's right.
Everything else
like
is.
Like gets them on the pool table and
yeah.
it'll start.
Everything else is peaceful. Three is a magic number. And they're
you know
like
the best
lovely.
One, though? Figure eight. I love that one.
But
Blossom Deary singing
it
that
blows
song.
Your mind at the end with, it's like eight, but you know what? Eight sideways is infinity. Blows your mind.
It blows your mind.
Though it's not as mind-blowing as 12 toes. Remember the idea behind 12 toes?
Yeah, 12 toes. That if we had 12 toes, our mathematical system would be quite different.
Yeah, how's that, kids?
Yeah.
How do you like that?
There you go. That's
how do you like with you
relativity?
Have,
how do
yeah,
you, like
you
that?
Have like a deck L do, you know, mm-hmm. and then you just move this over to the, what are you talking about?
It's
we
kind
have
of confusing.
Deck L do.
Even watching it recently when I was rewatching a bunch of Schoolhouse Rock because I think you linked to something related to it. Or?
Could have been. Sounds like the kind
you
of thing
had,
I do.
I think the
Roy G. Biv.
Roy G. Biv
probably links.
Yeah.
Probably links you to Schoolhouse mm-hmm, Rock. Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then because it kind of reminded me of that. And then that's right. And so I was watching a few of them, and I watched that one, and I'm no mathematical.
That is a big concept. Like, listen, in a parallel reality, if you have 12 toes instead of 10, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 10 and we're going to make that 12. 12 mm-hmm. is now 10. Mm-hmm. Okay. What are you going to do with those other two? Let me tell you. We're going to make up two different digits called dec and L. Dec L do. That's what it's going to be. Now, how old are you? What? Mind blown. Gone. I'm just trying to eat sugared cereal and watch the Banana Splits.
Did you like the Banana Splits?
Nope.
It was a terrible show.
Pardon me.
Do you know the biggest?
For the cough.
Yeah, we need a cough button. Do you know the problem with the Banana Splits?
They didn't have appeal.
I have nothing else to say.
That's the kind of joke they would have done on the Banana Splits.
They
that was appropriate
but
for
you know
the era.
But the thing I didn't like about them
They're just a bunch of spazzes just ran around at fast speed. You know, fast speed isn't enough to make things funny. 1970s television.
It wasn't just that. It's their faces didn't move.
Creepy.
It was creepy. Yeah. Like when they're singing a song and their faces are all perfectly still and they're singing. Yeah. It's just like, it's so, I don't know, off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I enjoyed it as a kid.
And then they'd have Danger Island, which seemed a bad matchup for
that. I have to admit, I don't remember the Banana Splits.
Well, you will when I throw up a clip. On our clipping. By the way, guys, if you have enjoyed the show and you want to see clips related to the show, go on our webpage. We'll show you some clips. That's what we'll do. That's what I do afterwards. I'll put some clips up, then you put them up on the main page and are very sarcastic about them and just go, look at what Ian likes.
I do
just
not like, do that.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Oh, no, you don't. No, not at all. Check out what he writes. It's true.
It's not all sarcasm. Sometimes it's very complimentary.
Sometimes
it's
constructive criticism.
Sometimes it is constructive. I'm just
now
trying
eat
to help.
Crackers.
I'm just trying to help. And quit making a mess around your plate. Actually, it was really complimentary on this, the most recent one.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. What was the most complimentary thing you said?
I really enjoyed the Walter Winchell clip.
Oh, that was pretty good to me.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Good on me for that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. And I recommend that
and
everyone
the best donuts,
go...
Walter Winchell donuts.
Walter Winchell donuts. Walter Winchell donuts? Isn't that Walter Winchell's grape juice?
Are you thinking Welch's?
Oh, I'm thinking Walter Welch's grape juice.
That's what you're thinking of. You know, you can say W's very well. You should change your name to Wayward Wedrick.
Wayward Wedrick. I think I might. I might do that. That Waskly Wabbit.
I like it. It makes Wayward you Wedrick. Makes you sound more adorable and more child-friendly, even though you are a horrible, abusive father.
Yes.
But you know what? A lot of times, you'll go like, hey, that guy who seems like he's a good dad on the radio or television, and then you find out he's all smackety-wackety with the kids at home, little Bing Crosby, wackety-wackety-wackety.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's what you are. Maybe on the radio, you're an adorable, a loving, kind man.
In real life.
Not in real life. On the radio. On this podcast.
Yeah. I'm all about
that. Not in real life. You're a monster in real life.
That's what I was wondering what the hell you're talking about.
No, I'm reporting you to the authorities. The second this is over, I'm slowly backing out of the room right now. I'm terrified.
That's right. Well, that's because of the knife I have in my hand.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I can see it. Obviously, you're going to take a shower in an Irish woods and you're packing a blade. I don't want to see where you put it.
Well, you know, I'm part Irish.
Okay, well, you can put it part of the way up. I could just take it to the hilt.
I still use a foreskin, but it hurts. That's the thing.
I don't think this is going to get any better than that.
And in fact, as usual, I think it's time that we ended the show now.
Yep, awkwardly.
Because we always like to end on a high note.
That's right. And also, with an apology, I'm so sorry for the previous hour. You know, and here's a fun thing. You don't get the time back.
Nope.
There you go. That's right. The way it goes.
Well, I hope that people were listening to this on a treadmill.
Oh, I hope so.
Or on an elliptical trainer.
That's right. Because you know what? On a treadmill, you go nowhere, much like we do in this show.
In this show. And on that note, do you have anything you want to say? Do you want to announce things that you're doing?
Sure. I'll do a quick couple of plugs. Yeah. If you're in Vancouver, I'm at Amuse Bouche. I do a show every Friday at Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew. I also do a show called Titmouse at the Cosmic Zoo with Dylan Reimer once a month. And if you're listening to this fresh off the podcast truck, if you just went up, hey, any fresh podcasts today? Yeah, we got a couple. Listen to them now. This week I am doing a tour, as I mentioned before, with Roman Danilo. Roman Danilo's Ultimate Comedy Tour, me with my sketch comedy group. And it's a lot of fun. The shows have been pretty great. And we're going to be this week in Surrey. We're going to be in Burnaby, and we're going to be in Maple Ridge if you're in the Lower Mainland area.
So the Surrey show will be the ultra penultimate show. The one in Burnaby will be the penultimate.
That's correct.
A comedy show, and then the one on Saturday in Maple Ridge.
That's right.
Will be the ultimate comedy show.
That's correct.
Great.
So yeah, ultimate. It sounds good, but it really just means last.
Yeah, the last comedy show.
You know what? Back in track and field. I was the ultimate track and field star.
Me too.
Yep.
It's funny that you mentioned that. And did you run?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
I ran the whole time.
Yes.
And never did I ever come in any place other than somewhere, not necessarily the very last. Because those are usually the girls that walked and just talked to each other.
Oh, I was just in the guys version. So it was like I was.
Did you take men's fitness?
Oh, yeah.
I did too.
5K runs.
Why? What is that?
It's that all the other things were filled up is the problem.
Oh, see, I chose to take it.
Well, good for you.
And then the only run that I ever came in first was one that was running was optional, but I still ran it.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in first.
Okay.
I was very proud of myself. What kind of
hippie school were you in that is like, hey, run if you want, man.
This was just one run.
I understood.
And it was just an optional.
I got a real strong memory, and I'm not in the best of shape right now. But here, I got a memory of like being in school, and I'm running with this guy, and we're running together, and going, oh man, we're really doing well here. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm in the best shape of my life. Me too. I hate this. Me too. This is bullshit. This being in shape, bullshit. You know, and you know what? That colored my life.
It has its uses.
What I'm saying is doing this podcast has winded me. That's right. And I need to go get some Winchell's donuts.
Some Welch's donut. All right, everyone.
Oh, it's full of grape juice.
Thank you for listening to our show. Can I just say before we go, it seems to be de rigueur or another, that's a big word, meaning for obligatory. It seems to be obligatory on other podcasts that it is requested that people write comments on the iTunes thingy.
Okay.
And what I would like is positive comments on the iTunes thingy, and that changes our rating in some way or makes us more, I don't know what it does, but it would be nice if people did that.
Sure. Yeah, but let's scam the system.
Sure. And if you just wrote comments on our website, that would be nice too. We just want to know that you're out there, people. We're worried. We can't even hear your breathing anymore.
Well, thanks again. I've been Ian Boothby.
And I've been David Edrick. Good night.
Good night. It's not necessarily night.
It's good night for it's night for me.
All right, it's good night for me, and it's good night from him.
Just have a miraculous improvement in sound in the middle of the show.
Oh boy, there we go. Oh, for crying out.
Because you know I'm going to take this out.